Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Hey, have you been looking at the news? Did you know what it was in Denver this morning? 31 degrees below. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they say they think we might get it down to 19 below tomorrow morning. But would you believe it? As the sun shined off and on all day long. Like I told you, we get more sunshine in Florida because we're a mile high, closer to heaven than the rest of them. But you know what? It was so cold. Boy, oh boy, was it cold. That's okay. Got to have a little cold. You know, I spent 18 months out in the Aleutian Islands, Dutch Harbor, Alaska, and it was 40, 50 below over there. I spent 5 years in Grand Forks, North Dakota, 40, 50 below up there in the winter, so I guess a good use of it. A newsman took his glove off, and 15 minutes later he had frostbite on his fingers in the back of his hand. Well, that's not too smart. Well, listen, hey, now that you got all the news from Colorado, I want you to kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, here's the thought for the day. If you need some kind of an excuse, see your preacher. He has heard more than anyone else. Because of that, I've labeled this message, Excuses, Excuses, Excuses. And I read in Romans, excuse me, I'm going to have to take a drink of lemon juice. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuses. Many, many, many years back in the 60s, early 60s, while attending Bible college in Riverside, California, I ran across this outline and it stuck with me all these years. It's such a great outline and I'm going to give it to you tonight. It's called Excuses for Not Being Saved. And then how God answers that. Listen, dear friends, if you're unsaved tonight, you didn't tune in this broadcast by accident. This meeting is appointed for you. So listen carefully. Well, number one, let's take out the excuse of the atheist. He says there is no God. But you know how God answered him? In Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He responds, but since, here's the true answer. 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. And then he answers also in 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And then we go on here to Hebrews 9:27, death is the end of man. That's what he says, and this is how they answered. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes a judgment, my stars in the world, you know, I feel sorry, and I love Catholics too, just like I'd love anybody else, but they're sure wrong on their purgatory. says you could die once. Now, they think you can have another chance after you die and you go into purgatory, and then the priest will, the family will pay the priest, and he prays you out of purgatory. Dear friends, that can't happen. It never will happen. There's so many things that these people believe, it upsets me because they're not following the Bible. See, they're believing what man says and not what the Bible says. If you really, honestly, beloved, want to know the truth, you jump into the Bible and you look it up. Everything that you and I need to know to get to heaven, how to live, how to give, how to go, how to die, is in this book. That's God's unerring word. Now, of course, I run into a lot of these people. That's the excuse of the agnostic. No one knows, he says, whether there's a God. Well, in Psalms 19, 1 and 2, the heavens are telling of the glory of God and their expanse and their expose and declaring the work of his hand. Day to day pour forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Well, no one knows whether the Bible is true. Well, God has an answer for that too. 119 Psalm 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Well, they'll say, no one can know whether there's a heaven. You've run into people like that, so have I. Matthew 10, 32, 33. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father, which is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I will deny him before my Father, which is in heaven. My stars, I'm so sorry. You know, years ago, I was carpentering in Portland, Oregon. I'd worked for this company for a long time as an apprentice. I was going to apprentice school. Anyway, we were sitting out there eating our lunch, about, oh, seven or eight of us. And my foreman says, hey, Mo, I hear you're a preacher. I said, that's correct. Well, he said, do you know what I believe? And I said, no, I sure don't. Well, I believe men come from monkeys. I said, in your particular case, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. And I got fired right on the spot. He was making fun of my God. He was making fun of everything else. But I didn't have a right to stand up. Well, I did. And it cost me from $300 a week to $175 a month, emptying bedpans in a rest home in Gresham, Oregon. Quite a step down. But oh, beloved, I'm so glad that happened, because a few months later, this man came to my door and told my wife, here's a bunch of plans for houses. Give it to Cecil. I want him to give me an estimate on citing them. I did. I landed a job, and now I'm making $1,200 a week. You see how God took care of me. Friends, don't ever be ashamed to stand up for the Lord. Now, you don't have to run around and prove that God existed or where he come from. All you have to do is say, I know one day I was lost in sin and undone, and someone took the time to tell me of God's love. And that's what Reverend Tom Baer did for me that night. At 2 a.m. in the morning, I called him out of bed drunk. And that man didn't sit there and say, well, Cecil, now you know alcohol is a sin. He didn't say that. He didn't say, Cecil, if you'd come join my church, well, you'd be all right. Now, some churches actually teach that they're the only way to heaven. But there's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now here's the excuse of the unconvicted. I'm not lost. Seemed to me like my wife told me that, and Millie Lash told that to me at Mount Baker Bible camp over 50 years ago. But they were both wrong. Why? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't have to believe. John 3:18. He says, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Have you ever heard this? I'm sure you have. I don't have that feeling. Well, Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money or cost. How many times do I tell my radio listening family, salvation is free. It certainly is. Boy, it is free, but it was not bought cheap. Anybody who had no sin in her life, who'd be willing to go to the cross of Calvary and die for me and take my sins and your sins upon him, he needs to be worshipped. He could be trusted to be our Lord and Savior. Now he said, I'll give unto you eternal, everlasting life. That's exactly what he meant. Now here is the excuse of the careless. I'm not living good enough to be saved. That's what I thought when I was an alcoholic. Matthew 9:12-13. But when he heard this, he said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Well, but go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now here's another one. Oh, I've heard this a jillion times. I could not hold out. Thousands and thousands of dear Pentecostals believe this. But what does God say? 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted him until that day. 2 Peter 2:9. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from the temptation and to keep the upright under punishment for the day of judgment. Friends, listen again. Let's go back to the book. The book says that you can know that you're going to heaven. How many times I've had people say, well, I never read that in the Bible. Well, you never read the Bible. Because it tells us in that. This is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. I don't say, I hope I'm going to heaven. Well, I plan on going to heaven. I'd like to go to heaven. I know. Am I going to heaven because I'm a preacher? Heavens no. Because there's a lot of preachers on the road to hell tonight. Lost, doomed, and damned. And boy, when you hear them preach, you'll know that they don't know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, here's that excuse of the ignorant man. I can't give up my sins. Well, in Romans 10:13, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, if a man is doomed for hell, why wouldn't he want to give up his sin and be saved? That don't make sense, does it? Galatians 6:7-8. Do not be mocked or deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he also will reap. You know, I've told you, our young people go out and sowed wild oats and then pray for a crop failure. Now, that might be funny, but it's the truth. And here's another one. The Christian life is too hard. Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding produces favor, but the ways of the treacherous is hard. Listen, sure, it's the Christian life's hard. No one says it isn't. However, living the life without Christ is a lot harder because, you see, you don't have anybody to go with you through your problems, your troubles. You know, I told you about this missionary friend of mine in Tokyo. And he said one time he saw this guy come out in front of this Shinto. It looks like a lion. It's a horrible-looking thing. And he knelt down and prayed before this shrine. And then he wept and wept, and he went away. This went on for about 5 days. And finally, this missionary said, I've got to go out and talk to him. He went out and he said, sir, it's obvious that you're having some real heartaches. Yes, he said, my little girl died. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed to Shinto, but she died. And this young missionary said, listen, let me tell you what you need to know today. Let me tell you about my Savior, Jesus. And he shared with him the gospel of Christ. Took him down the Roman road. Took him through John 3:16. Took him through John 3:3-5. Ye must be born again. And he said to this young man, he said, have you done that? Oh, he said, they don't teach us a Shinto religion. He said, I'm not trying to get you to leave your religion. I'm trying to get you to see that Jesus Christ wants to come into your heart and life and give you eternal life. And that day, right there in front of that Shinto shrine, that young Japanese gave his heart to Christ. And immediately God gave him peace and joy, a peace that I can't understand. And I'll tell you something else. I can't explain it to you. No, I can't. Well, the last one is a very dangerous excuse. And that's the excuse of the procrastinator. That's the guy that's going to put everything off till tomorrow. I know a lot of procrastinators, and I've done it too. Put off something that I should have done today, but I put it off till tomorrow. And here's what he says. I will seek the Lord some other time. It says in Proverbs 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Well, and here's another one. I'll be a Christian if my family agrees to it. In Mark 10:29-30. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers and sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses, brothers and sisters, and mothers and children, and farms along with persecution in the age to come, eternal life. Friends, you know, I will never forget that scripture. Means an awful lot to me. I remember when God called me to preach in Seattle, I didn't see how there was any possibility for me to ever go to school because we had all those children. We had 4 or 5 children at that time. Well, one day I was coming into the church and one of the deacons said, Brother Mo, you're a roofer, aren't you? I said, yes. He said, you know, we have a seminary very close to San Francisco and my brother has a large roofing company. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you'd call him and tell him you know me, that he would give you a job. I said, okay. I didn't want to call him because I knew I couldn't take my family with me, and I couldn't do that. Well, one day I did. I called San Francisco, and the owner of the company said, oh, my, he said, oh, I need roofers so bad. The hall is empty. Could you come on down right away? I said, well, I guess I could. And bring as many roofers with you as you can. So I called another roofer friend of mine who wasn't a Christian, and I told him I was going. He said, okay, I'll go with you. But I'll never forget that night at that bus depot in Seattle, Washington. My heart was broken. I'm telling my wife and kids goodbye. And I didn't like that. We got on that Greyhound bus, and we went to San Francisco. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, were we busy. Well, my phone bill got bigger and bigger, so I finally said, well, you're going to have to bring the kids down here because I don't want to live this way. Now, he said, if you will leave your family, that he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age. Houses, brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms along with persecutions and an age to come, eternal life. Boy, that's true. Because after my family got down there, things really began to happen. I tell you, say living by faith, I'll tell you, we found out what it was like. And it's so good. Now, here's a guy who says, you know, see, there's plenty of time. Matthew 25, 10, 12. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast. And the door was shut. And later, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. But he answered and said, truly I say unto you, I do not know you. I had a good friend in the Dalles. I won't mention his name. But I went to see him one time after many years I was pastoring in Oregon. I sat down and I talked to him and his wife till 2:30 in the morning. And he kept saying, someday, Cease, I want to be a Christian. I said, but today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow you don't know what's going to happen. No, I know it. Well, he was killed. His tomorrow never came. The Bible says, prepare to meet the God. Prepare to meet thy God. Someone said, the road to hell is paved with men's flimsy excuses. What's yours? You say, Cecil, I'm convinced that I'm not a Christian. And I want you to know tonight, I feel a tugging at my heart. And I really, really want to know that my sins are forgiven. Well, you can. You sure can tonight. Because I can lead you in a sinner's prayer. I have the authority to do it. And lead you in a sinner's prayer, and you could find peace with God. And here's how it goes. But, oh, beloved, don't pray this unless you mean it. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious, precious name of Jesus, I confess, Lord, that I'm a sinner. Lord, come into my heart tonight and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to call me at 303-471-8534. I will not use your name on the air. I will not embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I just want you to go to heaven. 303-471-8534. If you can't afford the call, you call me collect. I'll pay for the charge. 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you so much for listening, dear friends. And would you think about praying for me and my wife and our ministry? Oh, I just love to tell people about Christ. I love to witness, and I love to do personal evangelism. And you know what? I'd love to train people in that. Not that I'm a smart aleck, but I do know how to lead souls to Christ. Every Christian should be able to do that. We're to be witnesses in all the world. But most people have got so complacent, they don't have time. They think that's a preacher's job. It is a preacher's job, but there's so many preachers that don't care anymore. So we're not getting the job done. Why don't you ask the Lord tonight to give you souls for your hire and pray for holy boldness? Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, and keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.